Thank you so much. So good to be here today. The day that Merle pronounces Loughborough properly is the day revival comes to Harrisonburg, Virginia. Okay? It's so good to be here with you today. It really is. We arrived at the airport on, what was it, Thursday, Friday, something like that, and the guy at the customs, I always get frightened. I always have bad experiences at the airport when I arrive, more because of my fear. I'll tell you about the first time I came to America. I was going through customs, and I was really intimidated by the guy sitting at the booth. How many of you feel intimidated when you walk through there? You think, oh, I want to repent of all my sins, you know, And the guy said to me, he said, what do you do for a living? And I had a total, I'm a pastor. And he said, oh, really? He said, name the 12 apostles. And I had a total mental block, and I said, Moses? Literally. And the guy burst out laughing, and he let me into America. Amazing. Yeah. Anyway, but I was coming through this time, and the guy said to me, where are you going to? So we said, well, we're going to Harrisonburg, Virginia. Oh, he said, you're going for the big event. But I had no idea what he was talking about. And I said, well, I'm going to Clementine's, but I didn't realize it was that famous, you know. So, but we had a great, who was at Clementine's on Friday night? Man, that's, we had such fun over there. Somebody came to me afterwards and said, what were you playing tonight? Because I played for like 2.5 hours solid on that piano. And they said, what were you playing? And I said, well, I have no idea. I have no idea what I was playing. I just asked the Holy Spirit to give me the music, and then I played. And I discovered that the Holy Spirit likes jazz music as well. So I played a little bit of that. But we had a great, great night in Clementine's, and some good conversations were had as well. Wonderful to be here with you today. Thanks for your prayers. As Merle has said, we planted a church in a town called Loughborough in England. It's not dissimilar to Harrisonburg, actually, in that it's got a big, you know, college community there, and it's really great. We're making real impact on that, and then we're going to be planting a new campus of our church in the city of Leicester in England, which is about 30 minutes away from where we're currently at. It's a very multicultural city. It's one of the most unchurched cities in the whole of Britain, and we're going to go there next year and just try and reach some people for Jesus. So we would really love your prayers as we, will you pray for us as we go there, and pray that God gives us some real favor there as well. Great to be with you today. I'm so looking forward to being here tonight. Tonight's going to be great in the sense we're going to have a lot more time, as Merle has said, and we can just minister to people and pray for people. I loved hearing the story. I was just talking there to this guy in the second row. Your name again is? Kaylin, and he was talking about a healing that he received. It must have been 3 or 4 years ago, right? And he had a pain in his knee, and he got totally healed. So he came to tell me this morning. Isn't God amazing? Isn't it just fantastic? So we're going to believe for some more healings and miracles and things like that tonight, and we'll make lots of time to pray for people. Okay, now I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. It's a very simple message. This is not complex. I'm here for the light relief. You've had a pretty intense teaching series over the last few weeks, so the committee thought, let's bring an Irish guy in and we'll lighten it all up, okay? So I'm here this morning, okay? So I want to talk to you this morning very simply about what it means to trust God. It's very simple. And I want to encourage those of you who are already believers to keep believing, maybe believe a little bit more. And I want to encourage those of you who are not quite there yet, you're not quite a believer yet, I want to encourage you to start believing this morning. So that's what I really want to do today. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you know anything about the Bible, you'll know that Hebrews chapter 11 is a whole passage that's about faith, right? It starts off with a definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. If you use the King James translation, it's faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on to give us lots of illustrations about what it means to have faith. It uses examples from the Old Testament, like Moses and Daniel and all these characters, illustrating to us what it means to have faith. So he says here in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The thing that God is really wanting more than anything else from your life and from my life is that we'll just believe him. That's it. If you want me to summarize what this message is really all about, well, it's God asking us, will you please believe me? Will you please believe me? So I want to just mention some areas where I think that God really wants us to believe him this morning. Let's see how we go. Here's the first. I think the first thing that God wants us to believe this morning is that he loves us. Okay, so that's a pretty obvious statement, give us something new. But let's just stop there, park there just for a moment, because it is worth thinking about. This needs to come to us not as information, but as revelation. And I want you to listen real careful to what I say. I pray the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation into your spirit this morning. Are you ready? Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died on the cross. What was it that kept him on that cross? It was not the nails that kept him on that cross. It was not the circumstances that kept him on that cross. He was not there because he was a victim. Let's never ever think that Jesus was a victim. Jesus himself said, I've got the power to lay down my life and I've got the power to take it up again. Heaven was poised that day. 12 legions of angels, whatever that means, were poised, ready to strike at a moment's notice, wiping out the world, bringing Jesus from the cross, but Jesus stayed on the cross. It wasn't the devil that kept Jesus on the cross. In fact, if you read the Bible, the devil knew that the moment Jesus was on that cross, he was finished. The devil tried to keep Jesus off the cross, not get him on it. So what kept Jesus on that cross? It was his love. It was his love for you and I. Aren't you glad for God's love today? Aren't you glad for God's forgiveness today? Aren't you glad for God's salvation today? We are here today because of the amazing grace of God. And I think that this is what God wants us to know, that he loves us, that he cares for you, that he hasn't just talked about it, but he's demonstrated it by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. God's love has paid the bill. The bill has been paid. You don't need to try to earn God's love. You don't need to try to do so many good works, as honorable as that is, but you don't need to try to do good works in order to, like, earn your way into the Father's heart. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That's that. God is love. His love has paid the bill. He paid the bill at the cross. Lydia and I, we were speaking down in Texas. Any Texans here today? I love Texas. I love the whole atmosphere of that place down there. And we were speaking at this conference, and we were on the way to the conference, and we thought we'd stop into a Starbucks drive-through, because we don't have that in the UK. We've pretty much been denied, okay? So we called into Starbucks, and I drove up to the booth, and the guy said, what coffee do you want? And of course, like my wife, she orders all these complicated coffees, and you know, they said to me, what coffee do you want? And I said, well, can I have like a coffee? is that too complicated or what? And then my wife basically then ordered hers, which involves giving a whole message in tongues in the process, because I can't even understand it, you know? So anyway, we ordered our coffees, and then the guy brought the coffees. So I handed over my card to pay the bill. And the guy at the booth said to me, he said, I'm sorry, sir, I will not be accepting your card today. He said, because you see, the person who was in front of you in the line has paid the bill. It was the paid forward thing. We didn't know about that at the time. The bill has been covered. He said, so your coffees have been paid for. And I was amazed. I mean, what a wonderful act of generosity. And then I had a very cheeky thought. I said to my wife, I wish I had known. Only an Irish guy could think like that, right? Then I would have bought a lot more. Are you with me? And we drove away, you know, from that Starbucks that day. And I was so blessed. Somebody had paid the bill. And there wasn't a thing I could do about it. It was totally covered. No matter what I had done or said in that moment, the bill was paid. This is what, like Jesus, accomplished for us on the cross. His love has paid the bill. The bill has been covered. Why on earth would we ever want to try to pay bills that have already been paid? To try to earn God's approval, to try to earn God's love when the bill has already been paid. Aren't you glad for that? And I feel so challenged to say this morning that the first thing that God wants, I think, here in Grace Covenant Church for us to know is that God's love has paid the bill. And maybe there are some people, when I give an opportunity at the end of this message this morning, maybe some people just need to accept that. Maybe you just need to understand that and get that as a revelation into your heart and then respond to it appropriately this morning when the time comes. Here's the second thing that I want to say to you this morning about faith. The kind of faith that God is looking for is faith that dares to leave the comfort zone. So God loves us just the way we are. In fact, he loves us so much that he's not willing to just leave us that way. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us so that we become more like Jesus. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Some of the words of Jesus, you know, I must be honest, I find them really challenging. Sometimes when I'm reading through the red bits of the Gospels, I find some of the words of Jesus just good exercise. When you go home today, go and read the red bits. Just focus on them for a little while. It'll really challenge you. Here's some of the words that Jesus said. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's a tough deal, isn't it, when you think about it? You got to deny yourself, and then when you've done that, you got to take up your cross, and then you got to follow me. That's faith. Faith is following. Faith means following Jesus. I think there's a big danger in the 21st century. And here's the burden of my heart, and I tell my own church this all the time, and I'm going to throw it out. Let's see how it sits with you. I think there's the big danger that we simply turn God into our mascot. And God is following me, and everywhere I go, there's God behind me, and he's with me all the way. And we have missed the point. Because if I read the words of Jesus correctly, Jesus said, Matthew 16, 24, if you want to be my disciple, here's the deal. You deny yourself. You take up your cross, and then you follow me. That's faith. Faith is following. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some times when I find it really easy to follow Jesus. And then there are some times when I find it a bit more challenging to follow Jesus as well. I think that a good psalm to illustrate this point is Psalm 23. It begins with some very beautiful words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by green pastures, by still waters. Don't you just love that? Isn't that amazing? As Christians, we want to stay there, don't we? We want to stay in that part. Let's forget the rest of Psalm 23. Let's just dwell in the first part. The problem is the next part. He leads me by the valley of death. Let's go back to the first part, shall we? I mean, it's like we like the first part. It's the second part we have a real challenge with. He leads me by the shadow of the valley of death. It's like I don't want to go there. It kind of is illustrating that sometimes even Christians go through tough stuff in life. Just because we are people of faith, we're believers in Jesus, just because we carry the favor of God, it doesn't exempt us from going through tough times. So if the first part of Psalm 23 is the Bahamas, then the second part's the assault course. This is the journey of faith. Sometimes the journey of faith takes you by the Bahamas, so to speak. Sometimes the journey of faith takes you in that assault course. And yet, the amazing thing about Psalm 23 is that even when you're in that valley of death and everything's going wrong, there is where you receive the provision of God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When everything's going wrong and life is falling apart, and then the people, my critics, come along and they see my downfall and they're laughing at me and they're taking great pleasure in my demise. And he says, but he, the Lord, in this terrible valley, he brings a table, he provides for me, he brings a 5-course meal in. Are you with me? It's to do with God's provision in the midst of challenging, tough times. I think that God would have someone today know that you've got to believe for God's provision. That's faith. When you're in the valley of death, keep moving forward. My wife and I, we decided to go, well, actually, she decided to go camping. Now, how many of you agree with me that tents are from the devil himself? Anybody agree with that today? But I'm a submissive, humble husband, and I said 2 days, max, right? So we went camping up into the beautiful Derbyshire Mountains. If you've ever been to England, you know, you'll know that Derbyshire is a very, very beautiful country, countryside. So we went up into Derbyshire, and we got a tent up, and it rained the whole time. How do you know that it just automatically rains as soon as you put up a tent? So we're in this tent. So my wife said to me, she said, there's a little town that's about 5 miles away from where the tent is, so let's go and walk. We'll walk there. We'll get a cup of coffee. We'll walk back again. I thought, well, good idea. So maybe an hour and a half walk, good exercise and all that. You know, that means I can eat extra when I arrive. So we walked to this town, and we had our cup of coffee, and it was all going really nicely. And then my wife said, I think it's time to go home. She said, I think I found an alternative route to go home. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where it all went wrong. And what should have taken us maybe an hour and a half to get home actually took us 6 hours. I'm pleased to tell you our marriage did survive, but it took us 6 hours, and we found ourselves literally walking along a valley. I mean, it was like the longest valley I have ever seen in my life. And I said to my wife, I think this is Psalm 23. I think this is the valley that it talked about. This is like the valley of death, and we're going through it. And eventually, you know, it's like we walked for mile after mile after mile, and we're walking through this valley, and it starts to rain, and we're soaked through, and, you know, praising God and all that, you know. And as we're walking through the valley, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the Holy Spirit said to me, well, he said, if somebody's going through the valley of death, what do you think that I would tell them? How do you think that I would encourage them? And then I realized what the answer was, and I'm here to give you the answer this morning. Somebody here today, you're going through that situation, the valley of disappointment, the valley of bitterness. So what do you do? Here's the answer. Are you ready? Here's a word from God. You keep moving forward. And if I've come to say nothing else today, I've come to give somebody a word from God. Here's the answer. You got to keep moving forward. You cannot allow yourself to stay in that valley of disappointment. Somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody said something that really offended your heart, really got to your heart. And I think that that is a classic tactic of the enemy, that the enemy wants to get under your skin. And he wants to keep you in that place of limitation, make you angry, make you feel like, you know, like everything's going wrong in your life. And I feel that the word of God today is the greatest act of faith, the greatest act of defiance. When the enemy is attacking you, when you're in the valley of death, when everything's going wrong, you've got to keep moving forward. That's faith. That's faith. And you've got to believe for some stories to emerge of the grace of God, the kindness of God. This is the kind of faith that I think that God is looking for this morning. It's not spectacular faith, because most of the time faith is not spectacular, right? It's gritty. It's real. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have our own little personal worship band that would just follow us everywhere we went? Wouldn't that be amazing? And every time you felt down, Sarah appears with the band and you sing Shine Jesus Shine or whatever you sing, you know, whatever. But how many of you know that life is not like that, right? It means sometimes, like I heard one of the stories this morning, I was on my own. Well, hey, how many of you have ever been there? There are times when we feel like we're on our own. And that's the times when you've got to really praise. It's very easy to praise God, like in a service like this, when the worship is great and great. And but by the way, don't you have amazing musicians here as well in this church? I was listening this morning. Fantastic. I mean, it's easy to praise God in here. You walked in here this morning and maybe, I don't know, maybe you've had a bad week or a bad day, but you walk in here and you just meet some of those welcome, and they've got smiles. They would melt your heart. Like you get a fine cup of coffee in our fine facilities and everything's good. And then you come in here, man, it's easy to praise God in here. It's easy to lift your hands and worship in here, but it's in those times when you're walking through that valley. And there's nobody else around. And that's the time when you've got to trust God and believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But the moment that you decide, I'm going to trust his goodness, I'm going to trust his greatness, is the moment that you have won a powerful victory over the enemy. I've got this friend, and he's Mr. Positive. He's so positive, he drives most people up the wall. Have you ever met one of those really positive people that never seem to ever see a problem in life? Have you ever met one of those people? Aren't they really annoying? This is for all the melancholics. Okay. And this guy's Mr. Positive. And he's like a really positive. And he's great to be around. He's a lot of fun. But one day, he got a phone call from the hospital. And the hospital said, you better get down here ASAP. They said, your son has been involved in a terrible automobile accident. And really, it's a very, very serious situation. And so my friend, who's renowned, his famous statement, my friend is known by everybody as the guy who always says, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But he goes to the hospital, and he walks into the hospital ward, and he sees his beautiful boy, 18, 19 years old, and he's on a life support machine. And the doctor said he may not make it. They were very real with him. And my friend sat in that hospital ward, and he was on his own, inconsolable. And then the devil spoke to him. And the devil asked him a question. And the devil said, is God good now? Is God good now? How many of you know that that is often how the devil speaks? If you read Genesis, that's exactly what the devil does. He questions God. Questions God's purpose. You're in the valley. And then the devil will be the one who provokes you. Yeah, but God doesn't really love you, does he? He takes advantage. He's a manipulator, you see. I'm here to do real damage to the devil. The devil hates it that I'm saying this morning. Are you with me? So my friend listened to the devil's question. Is God good now? And my friend made a decision in that hospital ward. And he talked to the devil. I don't recommend you do that too often, but my friend made an exception. He said, Mr. Devil, I want you to know something. And I want to make this very clear to you. Even though I'm in this hospital ward and my boy is on this bed hooked up to a life support machine, and even though it's a very precarious situation, and even though the doctors have said he may not make it, and even though my heart is broken, and even though everything seems to be going wrong, I want you to know something. And I want you to be really clear that no matter what happens, here's my confession. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And you know, the story is that when that guy was in that hospital ward, he refused to go negative. He refused to go bitter. And his son, praise God, made an absolutely miraculous recovery and has gone on, he's gone on to be in the ministry to this day. But that was like a little make or break moment in my friend's life. And I'm wondering whether there's some people here today and you're in your make or break moment. This moment's either going to make you or break you. And I'm here to challenge you today with a word from God. And it's this: what area do you need to believe God in? What is the area of your life where you really need to trust God like you've never trusted him before? Sometimes faith means getting out of your comfort zone. Merle said it. He alluded to it when he was encouraging us to express our praise to God. I want to really encourage you today to be a person of faith, to be a person who believes God's word. What does it mean to believe God? It means to believe for the impossible. That's what it means. When you're in the midst of the impossible, there's this man of God, the woman of God, that refuses to give up. Jesus himself said it in Matthew 19, 26. He said that with people it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And here's a little word that I feel that God would say to us this morning as well. When it comes to being a man or a woman of faith and the grittiness of the journey and the challenge of our circumstances, is to dare not to be a pessimist, but to dare to be an optimist. Now, some people may hear me talking this morning and you're saying, you know, he's a very optimistic guy, a very positive guy. Believe it or not, I am naturally a melancholic. Naturally, I am a pessimist. So I've had to really allow the Holy Spirit to challenge me in my life. Not to pander to that, but to be a man of faith who dares to speak hope even when it doesn't look like there's a lot of hope going on. I read a little illustration recently. You know that they say that the optimist sees the glass half full. You know that illustration? And the pessimist sees the glass half empty. And I read this the other day, that one day, optimist, pessimist, and realist all received a letter. And the letter said these words: "Dear optimist, pessimist, and realist, while you were all talking about that glass of water, I drank it. Regard, opportunist." And I think that I've got a cheeky word from heaven today for you, which is this: that your challenge is an opportunity. Your need is just a miracle in disguise. That circumstance that's overwhelming you is an opportunity for you to trust God, for you to believe God. Don't give in to the enemy of your soul, who would love you to quit, who would love you to give up, who would love you to give in, to pander to your own feelings. But we sang it this morning. I'm not praising based on my feelings. I'm praising based on God's truth. Can you say amen to this morning? This, I believe, is the word of God. And we're going to take some more time tonight to pray through these things. Maybe I'll say some more things on these lines just to get us going. But I'm believing today is a chance for us to encounter God afresh. You've listened wonderfully well. I wonder what area of your life you need to trust God in today. I wonder, has anything that I've said this morning touched on an area of your life and you're thinking, ah, I can see it. I can see it. I know that in that area of my life, I'm struggling at the moment, but I want him to give me the faith to believe him. I want to give you a chance to just connect with God, encounter God afresh. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes where you are. You've listened wonderfully well, and I've left plenty of time because I really want us to have lots of time today to receive in the presence of God. You know, there's a beautiful sense of the presence of God all over this place today. I sense it so strongly. And I come back to the initial question. And here's the question that I feel that God would have us ponder and think about today. And the question is this: do you believe me? Do you believe me? And I feel that there's like this cry in the hearts of people today, that in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of your stuff that you're going through, that there's this defiant faith that is emerging, that will dare to say, I believe. I believe you. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, there's a beautiful sense of the presence of God in this place. I'm going to do two very simple things. The first is that I'm going to give some folks the opportunity to start following Jesus. Maybe you're sure you believe in God's existence, but you haven't yet started following him. And I'm going to give you a chance in a moment to pray a prayer that will change your life. And then after that, I'm going to give opportunity for people who know that they need to step out in faith, to acknowledge that area where they need to have faith, where they need to trust God. Let's go to the first one. Some people here today, maybe church is your regular routine, and you know that's an honorable thing. It's so honorable. But somehow it's just clicked this morning, and you've just realized by a revelation from the Holy Spirit that you need to follow Jesus. And some people are saying, yeah, Roy, I've listened to what you've had to say today, and I want to make my peace with God today. I want to receive the forgiveness. If God has paid the bill, then I want to receive the effects of that into my life. I want to receive his forgiveness. I want to receive his grace into my life. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to count to the number three. And when I get to that number three, those folks who are saying, yep, I've listened to what you've said and I would like to start following Jesus today. I would like to be forgiven. I'd like to make my peace with God. Then as soon as I get to the number three, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple, which is I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up, take it down. I'll say it, God will say it, and then I'll pray. And I'll make sure that you're included in a really simple prayer that I'm going to pray. And if you pray the prayer and you really mean it with all your heart, the important thing is that God will hear your heart. and he will answer your prayer. I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, those people who are saying, yeah, I've listened and I want to start following Jesus today. I want my sins forgiven today. A lot of things I don't quite understand yet, but that's the basic. If God asks, do you believe me? Well, I want to say, well, I believe. Not just as a theoretical idea, but I want to put feet to my faith and I want to actually start following Jesus. I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, those who are saying, yeah, that's me. I want to get saved. I want to become a Christian. I want to become a follower of Jesus. As soon as I count to the number three, raise your hand up, take it down. I'll say it. God will say it. Here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand high in the air. Keep it up just for a moment. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 people have raised their hands. What do the people of God say about that? Wonderful. Wonderful. You can take your hands down for the sake of those at least, and I think there was even more than that, but I saw at least 11 hands that went up in the air to say, yes, I want to start following Jesus today. Well, we want to have the privilege of sharing in a very powerful moment with you. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to say a line. I'm going to leave a space. I want you to repeat each line. This is especially for those folks who raised their hands. But come on, congregation, I want you to say it as well to help those people who just raised their hands. Let's encourage them as they pray this. Pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. By the end of the time you've said it, God will have heard the cry of your heart. The old is gone, the new has come. Let's pray the prayer nice and loud and clear. Everybody please, but especially those folks who raised their hands. Say these words. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead and that he did it all for me. And today I open the doors of my heart. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And from this day on, I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as our eyes are closed, one more thing. We've got a couple of minutes left. Some people here today are saying, you know what, Roy? I have identified an area in my life that I just need to trust God a little bit more in. Maybe somebody's saying, I've identified an area that I need to trust God a lot more in. Well, it's good you've identified it. We have a wonderful ministry team. I'm going to invite them, if they will, to come out to the front right now so that they can just be ready to minister to anybody who feels that they need it. Ministry team, come and join us. We've got a great team of Spirit-filled people who are ready to pray with you. What is that area of your life where you need a breakthrough? Then I want you to have the courage in a moment or two when I give you the opportunity to come out, get these guys to pray with you, to believe with you for God to do something amazing, something astounding, something that only God can do, because that's what a miracle is it not? And those of you who just raised your hands, you know, and you said, yeah, I'd like to start following Jesus today, if you'd feel comfortable to do it, why don't you come out when other people are coming as well and come up to one of these prayer people here and just said, I raised my hand this morning. I said that I want to start following Jesus today. They'll encourage you. They'll bless you. They'll help you. Congregation, will you stand to your feet? Will you stand to your feet? We're going to just stay a little longer in the presence of God. Close your eyes if you will. If you're believing God and you're saying, there's an area of my life where I'd like to believe a little more, where I just need God to help me, then why don't you leave your seat where you are right now and come out and find one of these ministry people, and they'll pray with you, and they'll believe with you for a real breakthrough. Make the most of this moment. These guys are here. They're here to serve you. So just make your way out, and let's believe for God to do something really, really amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May there be a massive breakthrough, today. Who needs healing? Who's here this morning who needs healing? Don't stay where you are. Come and get some prayer. What harm can it do? You're saying, yeah, I'm believing for God to heal me. Well, come out and get one of these people to pray for you. They'll believe with you. They'll stand with you. They'll agree in prayer with you for God to do something amazing in your life and your circumstances. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you worship.